if you've ever volunteered, you know you go in debt because I'm supplying the Gatorade, I'm supplying the snacks, I'm giving the water, I'm providing clean clothes so that they have uniforms to wear. That's what I did. That's nothing big. That's what we should be doing. That's what my mom and dad taught me to do because they did the same thing. But we're losing that direction and we all want to get paid for it. We want somebody to pay me to do that. I shouldn't have to be paid to take care of my community, to want to take care of my community. And neither should any of you. You know, I expect my council to work until midnight, sincerely. I expect you guys to be reading everything. I expect you guys to stay on top of everything and hold your staff accountable. Tribal police, you know, our HR, everyone needs to be held accountable to what they are and are not doing. We're a community. We're tribal members. We all belong to the same community. And we believed in taking care of ourselves, whether you were tribal or non-tribal. We all suffer together. And, you know, I encourage tribal police to become more friendly, engage with your community, be present. That's one of the biggest things. You know, after 5 o'clock, everyone goes home and no one cares about who's at the game. I can tell you how many teachers I saw at the high school game when I was there doing concessions. Probably on my hand. No one wants to be involved. When I was in high school, I had several teachers that stayed after to do poster parties and, you know, we had little committee meetings. They bought into the children. They bought into the youth. And that's not happening because there's no expectation of it. The school board should be active. I don't know how many people are on the school board in here. But, you know, they should all be here. They should all be here. This is their students. They should be saying, this is the game plan we're doing with Jacqueline. Giving her support. She's new. I don't see that. I hope that you're... Thank you, Leslie. Thank you. And she's sick, so I appreciate that because she's been enduring this long meeting, but that's what we need. Everyone needs to show up. This isn't a new thing. Trust me, this is not new, and it's not over, and it's not going to stop. But we can stop it here. This is a small enough community that we can hold to each one of us to get it together. Curtis said it best, man. Stand up, man. Come forward. Why do I have to do everything? Man, my dad was ruthless, you know, when it came to his kids or his family. You don't get away with stuff. And I'll come and hold you accountable. But I've had to do that, you know, because I don't want my husband, who's Yurok, to be told, you're Yurok, get out of here. Because that's we are. You know, we'll tell each other to get out. So then I have to come in and be the boulder. And I don't have a problem with doing it. I'll do it all day long. But also be kind of crazy, you know. I'll come to the gunpoint too, because everyone's shooting around where I live, and that's not right, and that's not okay, and I shouldn't have to call the cops every little while. If they're on duty and maneuvering around and shining lights, AWOT, my partner Joe Mastin, you know, he used to stop people, and if he didn't know who you were, well, you can go to the end of the valley. I can take you to Willow Creek towards, you know, Tishtang, or I can take you down here at the end of the valley to Nortonfield. Because you don't need to be in Hoopa. You don't belong here. We have the right to ask these questions, and I wish someone would. You know, I see people walking all day long. We know that we have vampires in the corner, and we have zombies during the day. And it's not okay. They should be held accountable, too, because I don't know what they're willing to do. They're hurting. They're hurting. You know, and we have counselors and everything. And we have all this substance abuse out there. I don't know what the answer is, but I'm saying take hold, man. Check it out. Open your eyes. Be a part of the solution of saying, hey, what's going on? You know, maybe, okay, I need to call tribal police on this because I can't, this person's out of there. And we need to make county responsible for taking them and putting them in supervisions or whatever because they are willing to cause harm. They're not in their right mind. I've dealt with it 1,000 times with my own family members, and it's hard. But I can't have my other family members susceptible to it. Thank you.
My name is Frances Ferris Billy. I'm here because I have to speak up It's been since 2004. I had an incident with the Lincolns, and there's a couple of them here.
Yep.
And I got jumped by them. I was pregnant. Okay. I went into premature labor 2 days later. My baby stayed alive for a month and a half, and then she died. I asked the doctors, was it because of me? Was it because of anything that I did? And the doctor said no. The doctor said no. And you know what? I don't know. This lady is something else, okay? Because this is what the doctor said. It was because you were beat up. My baby was born black and blue, okay? I never continued to push the issue, but AWOP Joe Mastin was the one that was writing everything down and taking all this. And then he passed away, and I just let it go. Okay? Years went by. I was with another, person. This is hard for me, guys, but I'm here to speak up because this is bullshit. These Lincolns have been doing this all their lives. They were young teenage boys when they did this to me. And I've lived with this, since 2004. You guys have never heard this from me. None of you people have. My mom knew. My mom wanted something done about it. Thomas Blake was the dad. He wanted to do something about it when I was with somebody else. And I said, no, it'll handle itself. It's going to be okay. I should have continued to do what I was going to do in the first place, because maybe none of this would have been where it's at now. Those boys would have been taken care of back then. But now it's the next generation that's doing this stuff. When is it going to end? It's the same people. It's the Lincoln family. It's the Lincoln boys that did this to me. I know my son's on here watching or listening. My daughter's on here watching and listening. They lived with it. We had to bury their baby sister. She would have been 22 years old this year. I was driving from Klamath today, coming over here, and my mind was just wandering and wandering. I was praying, and something said to me, you got to go there. You got to speak up, Franny. I'm not a person that speaks up in front of people. I'm learning to do it because, a closed mouth, don't get fed and things don't get to be said and heard. And, I want to be a voice for children that are being molested. And, there's pedophiles in this room that I've seen, and they're here right now. And it just disgusts me because they get away with it. And, there's things that need to be done to these people. And that's part of trauma. That's where that shit comes from. It starts down here when they're babies and they just live with it. Because when they try to talk about it, nobody believes them. Because they're either drunk or they're high, because that's when they finally get to say something. But I'm clean and sober 10 years now, you guys, and I'm up here and I'm speaking up, and I'm trying to be a voice, okay? Because enough's enough. And, the mom's looking at me saying things to me under her breath or out loud or whatever, and then there's one standing back there that had something to do with it, okay? I seen them walk in, and I was like, I'm still going to get up and talk. I see my, the chief of police here. I feel safe because he's here. And I see this gentleman here. I feel safe because he's here. I don't know. What if he's got a gun? What if he's gonna freaking try to do something to me outside when I leave this room? You know? I will fight back. I will do what I gotta do. And who's gonna be the one going to jail? Who's gonna be the one going to do time? Huh? You know, the one that freaking sticks up for themselves. You know, you guys probably all know my name, you know, because, oh, Franny Farrah, she's got a bad reputation. But you know what? It's due to trauma. It's due to abuse. It's due to being scared, okay? It's due to just so much shit that I had to deal with in my life, you know? And not having a true male to guide me and protect me and help me. You know, my dad died when I was young. And just like what Kurt was saying, it's a big thing, you guys. All you fathers, you know, even the ones that aren't fathers, come out and help out with these youth, you know. I still got two little ones growing up that are not of age yet, you know. And my son used to be tribal police, you know. And I was proud of him. Even though mom was on her way to prison, my son was becoming tribal police. He was in the police academy, you know. He didn't want to go down that road of his father and of me, you know what I mean? But my grandbabies, you know, I have six of them, one more on the way, and, you know, they're never going to see this, you know, grandma be, you know, an alcoholic and a drug addict and, you know, fighting and doing all this crazy stuff I used to do, okay? And I just hope that you guys take all this stuff into consideration, like, very seriously and do something about it, please. Like, you know, do something before, you know, this poor kid, you know, like, these people could do anything to anybody at any time. So, you know, I just keep praying for this valley, you know, for all of our tribes, all of our tribes. But it's all I gotta say. Thank you.
I see hand up there on Zoom, Quinn. Unmute. Hey, come on, you guys. Everybody, let's keep the meeting respectful. Frankie Joe Myers, are you there?
Sorry about that. Just want to say I really appreciate everyone who spoke before. Words of Curtis and Franny, you know, feeling a lot of mixed emotions tonight. Frustrated by the events, I think, like everyone else, proud of the community. It looks like there's over 200 people in the meeting tonight, hearing folks pour their heart out. Trying to think about what I could have done. I think what most folks are thinking. And there's a lot of good work happening. There's a lot of good work happening, good programs that are reaching out and connecting. And I see the work that the Hoopa tribe is doing and the Cayuga tribe is doing and the Yurok tribe is doing. I see the hard work that our staffs and the tribes are doing to put our programs together, to reach out, to connect to our youth, and Two Feathers, who has done an amazing job at really bridging a lot of the gaps that we have in our services. We're still missing kids. We're still missing kids. And it's a lot better than it was a few years ago, I'll tell you that. A lot better. You know, I think the response that we've seen in the last 24 hours, you know, 10, 15 years ago or 5 years ago, I don't know if we would have seen that. I know we're missing kids because we missed them. We missed these ones. And I know there's gaps. A year and a half ago, we reported. And we talked to the tribe, we talked to the county, we talked to the school district to try to get services to these kids, and nothing happened. And we followed up and nothing happened. They did a site visit and nothing happened. They did an in-home visit and nothing still happened. And I was listening to what Curtis was saying and, you know, feeling like, man, I should have went out more. I should have just took it on myself, right? Because we're a community, and not everything should be left up to the tribe, and not everything should be left up to the county. And we've got to take personal accountability for our kids as well. And even if they're not your own, they're still accountable for them. And we should all be accountable for them. And we need to hold ourselves accountable. And I know we talk about the youth and about how they act towards one another and how they treat one another, but shit, I see how we treat each other as adults. I see how we talk to each other as adults, as grown-ups. How we tear each other down. How we speak ugly to one another. To how leadership speaks to one another. How our tribal leaders speak to one another. And it's not everyone. It's not all the time. I think we have good people doing good work. But one of the things we learn when you're trying to develop and build new programs, and we're trying to build growth within your organization, and the key to, you know, any sort of venture like that is ensuring that your organization or your group of people have a shared vision. And I think our ancestors knew that, and they understood that having a shared vision in your community was the key to building a strong community. I think a long time ago, the foundational ideas of the Sriracha Pier, the jump dance, the world renewal ceremonies, I think that's what it was supposed to be. I think it was supposed to be a ceremony for all of us to come together and have a shared vision of our future, a clear picture of where we're all heading. I don't know if we have that. As a community as a whole, I don't know if we have one clear vision of where we would like to go. And I think we need to. I guess my challenge, Chairman Tribal Council, to the council members in the room, to the tribal councils there, is I'd ask that you all meet, you all talk about what our shared vision for our community might look like. That everyone in the room and everyone in our communities, we all understand what we're all working towards. It seems like there's plenty of people out there doing the work, and there's a lot of programs out there, and there's a lot of funding out there, and we're all working on our piece. But I don't know if we're all clear of where we would like to go or what the future of our community we'd like to see. Thank you for your time, and appreciate my community. Welcome.
Thank you, Frankie. Yeah, this is Joe Davis. I would agree with you. You know, we all have our own separate visions when we come into office, and we try to share that as we run for office. And as a whole, though, as a community, I think that we can do much better. And I know that we're actually working on some negotiations right now for a local tribal member consultant business that will facilitate our long-term strategic plans, but to be able to do that and include other tribes or neighboring tribes, and we know there's so much overlap, you know, I mean, there's a lot of households here on this reservation, I know, that have multiple tribal members in them from different tribes, you know, and they're all, you know, our kids go to school together. There's a lot. So I appreciate that, and I hope that, you know, we'll go ahead and move forward and really make that more of a focus to do that. Did appreciate the, you know, like I said, the Yurok tribe reaching out to us and, you know, having representation here, and I think that can go a long ways if we can continue to work together. So thank you again. Danielle, see your hand up there.
Hi, everybody. My name is Danielle Frank, for those who don't know me. I also go by Ducky. I'm the daughter of the late Snitch Cogrove and Rihanna Sergis. Sorry I couldn't be there in person today. But I agree wholeheartedly with a lot of what was said tonight. And I think one of the only things that I have to add is, you know, I think myself, I'm 22. I've lived in Hoopa my whole life, except for the 2 years that I left to go to school. And I have been doing youth programs since I was 14 in the Valley, connecting our youth with the rivers. The river has, and water has always been like my place to be safe, especially through my own stuff growing up. And I just think that one thing that we can do, and I'm really excited to help do it when our kids come back from home after going to school or get into the workforce after high school. No, if there's opportunities for our tribal council or different entities or different departments to bring those people in and find, even if it's entry-level jobs, bringing people in to learn how to, you know, put in a bid before put a proposal before council so that we can talk about a youth program or an idea that we have. I think there's a lot of young people my age who, you know, come home, we struggle to find housing, we find it, we live with our parents, we do what we have to do to be part of our community. And there's just not a lot of opportunities to learn the nuances of how to work with the systems that we have in place. And I know that, you know, people are trying, and I see so many people in this room that I look up to and who have supported me in my life, sitting right there behind that council board, sitting in the chairs, you know, people on Zoom. And so, you know, we have some of the systems in place. You know, we love each other. There's not any day where I go somewhere in the Valley and I don't see somebody who stops and talks to me for a moment. But I just want to say thank you to everybody who's here talking, you know, trying to find solutions for our young people, because the kids I work with, I see it every day. You know, they feel like they're supported when they're with us, and then they go home and they lose that, or they feel like they do. And so I think if we can just try and find more ways to bring our older youth into the what we're doing, into the change we're having, whether it's having them as different assistants in programs, different internships, different fellowships. But I just think there's a lot of opportunity to, you know, I was in high school not that long ago, and there was traumas like this that we went through. And when I got that call yesterday, you know, I was terrified about who it was gonna be and what family was gonna be hurting like this next. Because almost all of us have had this experience in going to Hoopa High. And, you know, when we come back home and we're trying to help create change, I hope that we can work together as all the tribes, different entities, different departments, to make sure that there's space for us and space for us to help. Because I think that we want to and we're willing to, because it's like, it just breaks my heart that there's kids, my kids now, the kids that are in my programs, are getting their heart broken by the same thing that broke mine and that broke many of yours. And so thank you to everybody. And, you know, if there's opportunities for us to help, reach out to us, text us, call us, talk to our families, talk to our folks, because we want to help. And, you know, I know that there's many young people, even the 14, 15, 16 year olds who I work with, are calling me, texting me, asking me what they can do. And so thank you, everybody. And that's all I have.
Thanks, Danielle. And I want to thank you for joining the tribe's new nonprofit, you know, stepping up to be a board member. There's always opportunities to help, you know. I mean, even if it's just showing up at the end of an event to help bag up the garbage or help set up the concessions in the morning, you know, before the ball games or whatever. There's you always need help. I mean, I know I've seen some of these nonprofits around here where you have people who are the ones there in the morning crew setting up, and they're also there, the cleanup crew afterwards. And it really shouldn't be that way. You know, if you had enough help, I mean, everybody would have a job to do and it would be less work for everybody. But, you know, there's a lot of opportunities to contribute. Okay, do we have another hand up?
Did you have a comment?
Go ahead, if there's someone on Zoom, I'd like to speak.
Chairman Davis, this is Vincent. I'm with NCIDC.
Hey, Vincent.
Hello. And to all the council and the community members, my wife doesn't like me doing this, but I'm going to do it. I'm born and raised in Bakersfield, California. My father's shoebox from Santa Barbara, but I've been up here for 28 years. Doing work up here, and I just want to, I'm inspired by Curtis and what he said, debating on whether or not to say anything, but I'm a male, pretty active father and a husband and a community person, and I just want to remind folks that the youth that are suffering and young people and even the young adults and those who have recovered from trauma, such as Fran, who I'm blown away by in a really good way, inspired as well. You learn, you observe, and you watch everything. So I think our adults have to, we have a higher standard. So if you're a teacher, an administrator, a council member, a drug and alcohol counselor, a mentor, your job is not to be the cool guy and dress like the kids you're serving or, you know, be vaping with them or hanging out with them. You have to be a model. And it's not easy work. That's the work. You have to be an adult in the room. I've been accused of being a straight edge, but I come from an alcoholic home. I had my problems with drinking earlier, but luckily I didn't get caught up in the system. But also being from Bakersfield, you don't want a gang problem, I'll tell you that much. We don't want that. And the community already here has a foundation of love and culture. And I think we're trying. There's a number of us men who are trying to be healthy and trying to walk a certain way. We try, not perfect. I just want to say, if we're doing this kind of work, I think from our dance leaders to our culture bearers, gotta hold people accountable. So if you see someone, it hurts a family when someone has got back from prison for being a pedophile and they're in the dance circle. It's a mixed message. People are hurt by that. I don't know. It's not my place to say that. I hope I don't have to make payment for that, but it's there. I've heard it several times. And my heart goes out to this family and all the families and all the triggering it's doing for people who've gone through gun violence and who've had to have their life being threatened or being bullied, because that's what it's doing right now. It's bringing up pain to people who've been through these kind of things who are still recovering from it. So I pray for that with all of you, and we just want to appreciate the council for having this, because it's not easy. This is that work I'm talking about, which I'm appreciative, because it's to hear people talk. But there's a number of us men who are trying to do the work. We've been doing it for a while, for a long time. But I think modeling is so huge, how we walk and how we carry ourselves. It's a big deal. although we're not perfect, but they help each other out. So thank you. Pray for this community and for all of us, and sending up that good medicine for all of us. Thank you.
Appreciate you being here. Right, well, definitely we have a lot of things we can follow up on. I know that, you know, we're all listening and taking notes. We got people here taking notes and stuff, and you know, we gotta take the words and put them into action now. So hopefully we'll start to see more of that. But I mean, I think everyone here knows that we can't do it alone. We need all your help. We need you know, those who aren't here, we need them to help as well. So if you can encourage people, you know, just think about, you know, what can we do to help? You know, some of the jobs that need to be done may not seem like much, but they do go a long ways, because you know, everybody needs to be able to contribute. I know different people have different talents. Wes mentioned that, you know, it's like, whatever your talent is, you know, how can you use that to help inspire somebody else? So, you know, that's a big goal. I know we don't want to be sitting here again saying, well, we should have done this, should have done that. And, you know, meanwhile, more bad things are happening. That's really, you know, we should be doing everything we can to avoid that situation. So, you know, we'll hope to have some follow-up. I think we probably should have another community meeting just to share what progress has been made and how that can be readjusted or improved upon as well. But, you know, I feel confident that this council will come together and make the most of it, and continue to work with all of our other partners, our neighboring tribes and our nonprofits and tribal departments and law enforcement, all those things. So thank each and every one of you that came out here tonight. I know that as far as I last report I received is he is still alive. He's on life support, critical condition. You know, him and his family need a lot of prayers, but that's all I really know at this point.
Mr. Chairman, Council, community members, you know, I just, I've heard a lot of good comments tonight, a lot of brave comments, a lot of brave people to be here, you know, and, where's Curtis? Anybody left? But yeah, you know, I moved here back in 1990. I moved from out of Del Norte, and, but I just want to share, you know, as many of you know, I took on the position as a pastor. I didn't want to. But, you know, there's something that we're missing here tonight. I've heard a lot of stories, but we're missing the spiritual side of life. We as Native people, we're spiritual people by right. And the whole thing here is that all the comments and stuff, it's not what are you going to do, it's what we're going to do. That's what we need to. What are we going to do as people? And I just want to encourage that we all pray. You know, that's what our people did. We prayed. You know, I took on a position and I said I didn't want to, but no, when Creator speaks, he has a higher authority. And if that's the way I'm going to serve the community, then I'll do it. You know? And I'll do it. You know, it may not be something I want. I'd rather be off vacation or somewhere, you know, but no, he says, no, you got something. And it's like, Curtis was here, is about coaching Little League. I coached for 12 years, man. That was a lot of fun. But you know, I a lot of young boys are men now, and they still call me coach because made an impact on their lives. Maybe not all of them, but I say at least I had an opportunity. You know, and this is where my position is today, an opportunity to serve my community. But there's one thing I want to say, that we all have good comments tonight. But it's for all of us, no matter who we pray to, you know, Creator, we're all going to keep that prayer into the same direction that we want to go with all this. You know, we pray against the alcohol and drugs. We pray against the violence, the abuse. We pray. We can't just say a prayer once. No, we got to continue to pray. We got to continue to pray until these dark clouds are broken. You see, it takes, there's power in prayer.
Harold, I'm just going to ask, could you lead this group here right now, pray for the families, all the families, yeah, all of us? Thank you.
Okay. Almighty God, Creator of all heaven and all earth, we as a community come before you tonight, as you heard all the solutions and the things that were brought out tonight. You heard them all, just as we all did. But we come to you now, Almighty God, that you would heal our community, Lord. Heal our community in such a way that we come to you with open arms and we ask for your wisdom. And Father God, that this prayer would not fall on deaf ears, but that you would move in a mighty way, that the community will see you in action through all these programs and through all the people who volunteer, whatever it may be. You heard it all. Father, let your Holy Spirit move in such a mighty way that it will drive our community to outrid the drugs and alcohol and violence and abuse and whatever it may be in our community. Yes, Father, we pray that you would just pour out your Spirit upon us all, not only the ones here, but the ones who are living here in the valley. Yes, we pray all this in the name of Jesus. We thank you now. Amen.
Amen.
So with that, I just encourage us to pray and don't stop praying. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, well, yeah, those are good questions. You know, I had set up a meeting previously with the superintendent for tomorrow. I'm going to be meeting with her over there at, I think it was 9. And then, you know, Jordan, he's been meeting with her all along in different ones. But we'll be over there tomorrow. We'll have a tribal presence in the school tomorrow. As far as the exact date of an assembly to talk about the gang prevention, I think that's one of the things we can discuss when we meet tomorrow. Hopefully the law enforcement will be kind of looped into that. We want to get that going as soon as possible. I would say now. I mean, we got to do it now. And just as far as forgetfulness, I mean, I don't forget when people are 86. I called in a lady the other day walking down Tishtang Road that was 86. And I believe she was picked up. I seen a mugshot yesterday. So, you know, we try with that. It is tough. I mean, you can haul them off the res and they come right back, you know. But I think as long as you can at least make life tough for them, so that if they know they can't just walk into the store and they're not going to be, you know, called in and potentially apprehended, you know, at least make it tough to where they have to sneak around. And you know, it's a deterrent so that other people can see that and say, well, I don't want to be in that situation. You know, I don't want to have to sneak around. I want to be able to go to the store, do what I need to do. There is room for improvement. I know that. You know, we're trying to get more and more officers. We have several trainees right now that are getting ready to go to the police academy. So hopefully they can complete that and be fully deputized or become SLEC officers and, you know, have more resources. But keeping enough staff on 24/7 is tough, you know, when you only have, you know, anywhere from 6 to 8 officers. You got to have 2 on at a time so they can back each other up. And so sometimes it's hard to have more than 2 on at a time. And you know, one gets a call and then the other one's got to transport someone over the hill. So we're left shorthanded. But, you know, our communications with the sheriff's office have been pretty good. I know they are trying to provide a little bit more here as far as presence and resources. But we do have a long ways to go still. So it's, I mean, we do talk about it. I mean, James is well aware, you know, the council has said, you know, we want to make sure, and the Humboldt County Sheriff as well, you know, that if people are 86 from the reservation, they need to be removed when they're here illegally. So it is a major concern, but hopefully we'll see those improvements now.
I'll have a date for the assembly before the end of the day tomorrow, and then we'll have staff come out committing to at least the next week or two for support and counseling and everything else at a minimum. Yes, and the county is working with the school district as well, and then we will also.
I just want to thank the council members who actually showed up tonight to hear from the community and to address the issue. I definitely appreciate that because you are our representatives. You are the ones that will take the voices forward to try to make things better. So I know it was a fast policy meeting. I know some of you have other things that you need to do or whatever, but right, I definitely, as a council member, appreciate the ones that showed up to hear us.
I do want to speak for Bob Kane, who was a police officer and working this case, and as well as Ryan. Ryan's son was good friends with this kid that's experiencing this, and so he's over there with the child.
In the hospital. And Bob's out on patrol.
Okay, thank you for coming
up. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
Thank you again, everybody.
Try to have a good rest
of
the night.
Thank you for being here.
Hey, young, Kilet to all of you on the Trinity, listening to KIDE.